concerns.
That's apropos.
You can't actually.
You know what else
kill
is apropos?
James, though. I need him to build.
This podcast.
Not this podcast?
Greetings, Apropossi, and welcome for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
Wow. Lag City. Lag City, here we go.
I was right on that button, too. I was
you
ready.
You were. Like, I was
flipped
so
the
proud
end.
Of you.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
And then I was concerned for Salsa. I'm like, yay, James! What? Oh, Salsa, what? Oh, oh, mm-hmm. Sweetie, what's going on?
I don't know.
I don't hey, guys, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Wild State Cider.
I am drinking...
It's going to be one of those nights.
Oh, my God.
Oh, all right. Oh, I'm drinking Ven Brewing Co.'s limited release smoked pineapple lager. Smoked pale lager infused with pineapple. Two reasons for Jenna to be disinterested in it.
I don't want that for a lot. Yeah.
It comes in a can and it's smoked.
However.
However, what
James,
I'm drinking...
James, describe.
Oh. Go ahead, James.
God damn it.
It's pretty tasty. It's not the best beer that I've had from them, but it's probably the best lager I've had.
Okay. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Salsa! wait. What are you drinking?
I am drinking that Jenna will like very much, which is Wild State Cider's hair.
You know, I'm not the biggest fan of pear cider.
But Perry is infinitely better than cider.
No, you're just wrong on that.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not.
You can have the
pear
cider.
Salsa, I love pear cider, but you and Jenna have been in a fight forever about everything.
It's okay. She can be wrong. I personally don't mind.
Not everything. But see, Salsa. Mm-hmm. I didn't think we were going to have a talk this early in the podcast. However,
we don't need to have a talk. Oh. I am completely okay with just letting you be wrong out loud.
Salsa, of the many things I've ever accused you of being and doing, okay was never one of them.
That's not true. You called me okay once.
Oh, but that was in bed. I was trying to boost your ego.
God.
My ego doesn't need boosting. My penis sometimes does, but my ego does not.
Hey, everybody. I'm drinking Pinot Grigio. I've had it before, and it's amazing. It's the one that Bill brought home pretty long ago. And I bought this at Lake Wine and Spirits, because they still carry it there. Still tastes just as sweet, just as bitchy as when I first tasted it.
Excellent. As God intended.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What y'all been up to?
I was about to say, do we start with Salsa and like wait for the leg, or do we start with the us and then come around to Salsa? Because that's how leg works anyway.
Mm-hmm. Salsa, you start now and we'll catch up to you.
Hey, everybody. I got my hairs cut.
Yeah, you did.
My hair was down to my butt.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is above my shoulders. And in fact, in the back, it goes all the way up to the top part of my neck. When I take the hair out from behind my ears, I've got a lovely little pointy thing going on in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this one didn't curl as well. But, yeah. So it's called an Inverse Bob. And it looks delightful. And the hair coloring is a fire ombre. So it starts light at the bottom and goes super dark at the top. And it's all, it starts with kind of a yellowy orange and then goes to, kind of an orangish, copperish color, and then into a red, and then into a bit of a violety thing, and then into a darker purple at the very, root of my hair. And it's lovely, and I'm very happy with it. So
it is super good.
Yeah, go to Alchemy Salons for all of your hair needs.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for 4 hours because we had things to bleach.
Ooh, yeah.
We had 5 different colors to go through. Yeah, the cutting the hair was actually the easiest part. But yeah, I'm super happy. I absolutely love it. I can wash my back without trying to figure out where I'm putting my hair. Yeah, like that was the weirdest thing for me. I didn't actually over shampoo the first time through. I've played this game before. But I did that and yeah, it was just like, okay, my hair's nice and shampooed, now I'm gonna wash my back. Whoa, hey, I have access to my back now. This is lovely. I don't have to shift anything or try to pile hair on top of my head or anything. It was great. Also, it's way easier to hold my head up. Like, I am not kidding when I say I probably lost about 1.5 pounds of hair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of hair. So, yeah, my head feels lighter and cooler. I look cooler, and I'm very happy with it. So I got my hairs done.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, that's a fantastic cut.
I love it. And then Joe's neighborhood had a block party, and so we went to that. And then, there was a barbecue on Monday that I went to. And there were all places with fully vaxxed people and outdoors, and it was lovely. And the extrovert in me is starting to get recharged a bit. And it's, I don't even know what to do with it right now. I'm going to kind of explode. I'm seriously just like, I have energy. Everything's great. I've been doing chores that I've been putting off for like months.
Seem way more chipper.
I am super chipper. After the block party where we were hanging out with people, Joe was like, I love seeing you just smile for no reason. This is lovely.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sorry. He's like, it's a pandemic. We've all been like this. It's fine. But like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. No, here's the other thing I did. For the barbecue, I made all of the deviled eggs. How many deviled eggs?
All of them.
All of the deviled eggs.
I.e. not enough.
84 deviled eggs.
So not enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
There were leftovers because somebody else also brought deviled eggs.
Crap. Because I wasn't there. specifically, I and my son weren't
there. Hey, do you want to eat a... You want to eat a dozen hard-boiled eggs? No, man, that's gross. What if I cut them in half and mix the insides up with spices? Yeah, I'll take like 2 dozen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would probably eat a dozen eggs too, but that's...
So I made... Fair. I made 84 deviled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
14 flavors of deviled egg.
Ooh, fancy.
Flavors?
Oh, yeah. So there's your basic deviled eggs, right? There's mayo, mustard, like salt and pepper,
relish.
Maybe.
Nothing
exciting. Nope. No relish. I'm going basic deviled egg.
I don't understand.
Okay. Which, a lot of classic recipes for deviled eggs do not have relish.
I don't understand. Seems like the most basic level to me.
Nope. You're just incorrect on that.
Fair.
So I made those with, of course, you do have to have the paprika on top.
Of course. Always. Of course.
Yeah.
Smoked paprika.
That's necessary. Uh-huh. Mm. On the basic ones, I had regular paprika.
Okay.
But then I made horseradish, deviled eggs, and that had smoked paprika on top.
Dang. That sounds so amazing.
They were hella tasty.
Nice.
I had the horseradish ones. I tried making super hot ones.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing with that. So there was like chili powder, cayenne, hot sauce, hot Hungarian paprika on top. All this. And when it was all like mixed up in the bag, because I used sandwich bags for piping, mm-hmm. because that's easy.
Yeah.
I had Joe take a taste, and he was like, "That's great." And then once they got into the egg whites, the egg whites kind of balanced them out again.
Yeah.
And so they weren't nearly as hot. Yep. It just took some of that heat right out. So it was like, awesome, bitch. All right. They were still good, mm-hmm. but they weren't what I had planned.
Yep.
So I was sad about that. And then my crowning achievement. I made deviled eggs with capers,
mm-hmm.
dill, and minced onion.
Mm.
And in the yolk, I had some caper juice.
Oh.
A bunch of that vinegary stuff. Yep. And they were incredible.
Nice.
Those didn't last.
I'll have to give that one a go.
I've
got capers in the fridge. I usually put it in with Alfredo pasta and stuff like that, but
yeah. Or like
That's the only time I ever really use capers. Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think bagel with salmon and cream cheese.
Oh yeah.
With allowance for Jenna's dairy intolerance. So, yeah.
Oh, I use non-dairy cream cheese. Mm-hmm. It exists. It's not as good, but it's what I got. So those are the four types of deviled eggs I made.
That's amazing.
A paste with Mrs. Dash on it. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds phenomenal.
I was in the kitchen for like an hour and a half, and Joe's like, "I can't believe you're not wigging out, because we're, you know, later than you wanted to be." I'm like, "Oh, I'm wigging out. Internally, I'm freaking out. But this is all on me. So, like, I'm not going to make it anybody else's problem." But inside, I am screaming. He's like, "Should I start putting some of the other stuff in the car?" I'm like, "That would be great."
Good thinking.
Yeah, no, he knew exactly what to do to help with the situation.
Good, good, good.
Things that I love about my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was pretty much my weekend.
Cool.
I had also made deviled eggs for the block party, too. So over the course of the weekend, thinking about this, I made 98 deviled eggs. No, wait. Yeah. Hold on. Math is hard. 108 deviled eggs.
Four dozen eggs?
Four and a half.
Okay.
I had an extra six eggs from another thing. So, like, yeah. So, yeah, it was 4.5 dozen eggs turned into 108.
Awesome.
Deviled eggs. Yep.
Very cool.
That's what I did with my weekend. I made all the deviled eggs. Okay, so, and here's just a side tangent. I told you guys last week I've been hanging out on the Twitches a lot lately.
Uh-huh.
With a lot of people from UK.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of people in the UK, from my small sample size, do not know about the glory that is deviled eggs.
That seems right.
What?
I was so sad for them. I know, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it seems right, James, since they originated over in England.
That's... I don't...
That I did not know.
I can't...
Yeah.
I'm sad now.
I know, right? I was like, oh, you guys, you're missing out on some of the best food on God's great planet. Like, yeah, you need to get on this. And the one person that did know about deviled eggs had actually worked in a restaurant and had made deviled eggs, but also didn't like eggs.
Ugh.
So the glory of deviled eggs was just lost my on that
kids,
person.
My kids don't like eggs, and Asher will eat half a dozen deviled eggs himself. Deviled eggs are not eggs. They transcend eggs.
I mean,
eggs.
They're not.
They transcend eggs.
It's true.
Yeah, well... The one person in the UK that I had found from that very small sample size of about 7 that even knew what deviled eggs were didn't like them. Yep.
It's a tragedy.
I agree. So I've shared my deviled egg recipe with them, I guess. And I was like, go make deviled eggs. I promise it'll be fine.
Go then, and do ye likewise.
So.
I think all of those ingredients are the same for them as they are for us, so they should have this comparable thing.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're going to have any problems. So,
well, there are certain things that go by the same name here and there, but are not the same thing. So I was just kind of mentally mm-hmm. going.
Oh no, I'm well aware of that.
But there's
just so few ingredients in the. First
yeah,
place?
No, I was just mentally going through and making sure that none of them were drastically different.
No. Nope. So.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, for the most basic of eggs, mayo, mustard. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe not the same yellow mustard that we just kind of used,
yep.
But, like, it's still just all about the mustard seed.
I mean, you can use
brown
mustard and it would be fine, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have the same mayo that we have. They have
eggs are still eggs.
Yeah. So yeah.
Now I wonder about like Dijon mustard in deviled eggs.
You can use certain Dijon mustards. I would not use honey mustard though. I made that accident once.
Oh,
don't recommend.
Oh no, that doesn't seem good.
It depends on what you're pairing it with. Like if you're putting ham on top of it or something, maybe. But that's not what I was doing, and it went poorly. I grabbed the wrong yellow bottle.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all right. Life happens.
It does.
What about you, James?
I got to visit a friend that I have not seen in person for more than a year and a half. Best friend, former landlord Charles. And, he has been waiting to give me a piece of hardware that he no longer uses, as he sometimes will. No, he still uses that one, Jenna. No, I am now in possession of an Oculus Quest VR headset. And I'm very excited about it. I need to buy a cable.
All right.
Because the cable that comes with it is real fucking specific, and it requires a little bit of setup, and in order to play. So I'm gonna be buying one of those cables. I tried to use a cable that I already had, no go. Mm-hmm. I tried to buy two cheaper cables that would adapt to be the correct cable. No go. And then I checked on Amazon. The two cheaper cables, well, the name brand cable is $80. The two cheaper cables together were 50, and then Amazon sells, I guess, a knockoff of that cable for like 30.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see if that one works. I don't like. I've really cut back on how much I shop Amazon.
That's fair.
But sometimes you just. I went to a local electronics retailer that I enjoy shopping at, and had no luck. So, yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, I think it's fair game. No pun intended. But we're very excited.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's that, and other than that, just. You know, relaxed for the first weekend in ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was talking to my therapist. I'm really fucking bad at relaxing. Even when I give myself time to do it. I noticed that while I was doing remote viewings for Anime Club and things like that I was doing the dishes and cooking and, you know, folding laundry and doing everything else under God's green earth. But when I go and do things in person, I have to be more present, more...
Right.
Not in the middle of 1,000 other chores, and it's really kind of nice.
Yeah.
The downside is that with this, I've been eating a lot more fast food, and I gotta get back into cooking. I don't feel bad for switching over to fast food for a little while, but because you just get fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
And then you have a week where, like, 3 or 4 nights out of the week, you've just been eating fast food. But yeah. I've got to get back into cooking and, you know, not eating drive-through burgers. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Although Salsa did tell me about this amazing hamburger restaurant.
Oh, for fuck's sake, James.
Did you get Bryn's text?
I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I don't. What? Which one?
Hamburguesas El Gordo.
Oh, yummy.
Yep.
Very.
All right. Anything else, James?
I mean, that's functionally it for right now.
All right. Salsa, what have you been up to?
Watching hockey. It's the playoffs. And I've been down in my basement every evening watching the playoffs. So the Minnesota Wild were eliminated, but I don't care because I get to watch all of the other teams play the playoffs. And the Magicians start the second round of playoffs this weekend.
Oh, dang.
So I'm going to be busy with that. I did realize, though, that this is probably going to be my last weekend working for the organization for this year. Unless they push it to a Game 5, which could happen, then that game might be here. But more than likely, this weekend, this Friday and Saturday, are going to be my last ones because... if the Magicians are eliminated, then the season is over. And if the Magicians move on, it's the finals, and the finals are all played in one location. All four of the division champions all go and basically have a tournament style in one central location.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting how they do it, is they do best of five series for the division, then once the division leads are chosen, those four go have a tournament, and they have a, you know, the two teams have a best of three series, and then the winners of the best of three series play head to head for the cup, and that's a one game game.
Gotcha.
It's just okay. One game, winner take all. So even if they advance to the finals, that's going to happen in a different place. So either way, I will not be working those games. So I'm a little sad that this weekend will probably be the end of it for me for this year. But there's always next year.
Yeah. There is.
Hopefully there's next year. That is, I should say.
You know. I mean, yeah, maybe you did a real shit job.
It's entirely possible that they don't hire me back. This is not, you know, not beyond the realm of possibility. But beyond that, I've been doing some woodworking. Not as much on the lathe. I've actually been building, like I'm building a bookshelf right now for all of our cookbooks.
Oh wow!
We've had all of our cookbooks have been on our counter, like under our cabinets, and
sure.
And we've got a lot of them. You know, they took up a good, you know, 3 foot section of our counter, and it was taking up a lot of space. You know, like our radio in the kitchen was hanging halfway off the end of the counter because the cookbooks were taking up so much space. We were finally like, this is ridiculous. We just need a place to put the cookbooks. And I was like, I will build a little bookshelf. And so I am building it. Basically, it's going to slot right in between. There's the door in our kitchen that goes to the hallway into the bathroom, and then there's like the closet door, and it's those two doors are about 11 inches apart, so there's just this tiny little piece of wall there. And we were like, if we put a really shallow bookcase here, it won't be in the way, and it'll hold all of our cookbooks, and then our, like, so I took all the cookbooks off the counter and moved them into the living room while I'm doing this, and suddenly we fucking doubled our counter space.
Yeah.
Because, like,
suddenly you can cook. You need those cookbooks now.
Well, all of our, like, all of the different kinds of flour that I have, and our sugar, and our, like, dry goods got, like, moved back into the corner there under the cabinets, which means our counter space up front just opened up wide, and we're like, holy shit, we got so much room now. But it's coming along. I just got done sanding it this afternoon, as a matter of fact. Sanding, the least enjoyable part of any project.
Again, it's the thing that I don't like, because it's a texture feeling thing, and like, it just wigs me out. Sanding wigs me out. I don't like it.
I hate sanding because it's slow and time consuming and fiddly.
It's coarse and it gets everywhere.
Yeah. So I like the assembly.
I don't like it because I don't like the feeling of things being sanded.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. That's fair. But so yeah, I just got to stain it and then do the assembly on it, and then it'll be done. Beyond that, we had people in our house.
What?
Human beings in our house. What? Without masks on. What? Yeah, we had a couple friends over. We had a couple friends over just for low key hanging out and chatting and being friends. And it was
just two friends?
It was lovely. Yes, just two.
I mean, that's more friends than I have, so
that's fine. Just one couple. They came over to give Asher his birthday present, and then they just kind of hung out. And we sat around and had a bottle of cider and chatted for a while, and it was lovely. It was absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
And then on Memorial Day, we went to my wife's grandmother's house and helped her with her garden and stuff like that. So
excellent.
Good times.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you say? Should we all take a break or something?
Yes, I think we'd better head.
Break time sounds fun.
All right, let's do that. We are going to take a break. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
We have had it up to here with your kindness.
I fucking hear.
Literally, we are up to here full of your fucking kindness.
Happy-go-lucky piece of shit.
That's true.
I am
a happy-go-lucky piece of shit. That's very true.
And this is a podcast. We're back. I'm Salsa.
James!
And I'm Jenna. Hey, you guys.
Yes?
You guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been talking behind the scenes, and our listeners will never know what we were discussing running up to this. But we were talking about, like, you know, a little bit about image and stuff. And one of the things that, like, is weird for me is the image of me as a child versus me as I am now. Like, yeah. You know, you picture yourself as a kid, and I feel like there's a certain amount of nostalgia that goes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're like, oh, look at me when I was young and didn't know things. there's that whole image thing. But, like, there's also, like, I wonder about nostalgia as just, like, because there are certain things that cause nostalgia, right?
Sure.
Whether you're thinking of yourself as a young kid in a specific moment might cause a memory nostalgia. Being in a location might cause a certain kind of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Smells, touches, whatever sensory stuff is happening at you.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things cause nostalgia for you? Like, what senses cause it for you the most? What are specific nostalgic moments you can think of? Talk to me about your nostalgias.
Recently, it's been a lot of commercials.
Okay.
Somebody posted a picture of something, and they were like, this picture of a baby, you know, that somebody drew looks like a 90s commercial. You know, like the middle 90s when every commercial was just like, fuck you, you're an idiot, our stuff is extreme, buy our shit. Yeah, we're gonna make an ad about somebody throwing up for 30 seconds and it's an advertisement for light bulbs. You know, whatever it is. It reminded me of all of the commercials that I watched in the 90s, and I started watching a lot of those ads, and like they are awful.
Okay. Oh, it's, yeah.
Yeah, like one of the ones was a Slim Jim ad where someone's going in for an appendectomy, and he takes a bite of a Slim Jim, and then they gas him out, and then it shows that the Slim Jim in his stomach. It's an anthropomorphized Slim Jim guy in a costume, and he's just going bug nuts and then decides he needs out, so he picks up a rotary saw and just starts going through the wall of the stomach and tunneling outward until he, like the alien in the first movie Alien, breaches the guy's screaming. It's an ad for food you're supposed to eat. What in the fuck? Like, do you remember the PS3 commercials?
No.
A baby with, like, ink black eyes pouring blood from its sockets and giggling, and then it's just like, PS3.
I mean, I'd buy that. Yeah, that does
sound.
I watched about as much TV back then as I watch now, so no.
Yeah. So he saw a lot of...
I want to clarify something, though. You've actively gone back and searched out these 90s commercials.
A few of them, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, because
I'm like, how does picture that randomly happen and trigger nostalgia? But no, you went to go look for
that picture. Reminded me of all of those commercials because it was a deeply unsettling photo. Well, it was like somebody's Photoshop something, but it was just.
It was not okay.
No, it was not okay.
Okay. The 90s did have a lot of disturbing, extreme energy vibe stuff happening. I remember that. Salsa, anything specific hit up your nostalgia?
Honestly, not from my childhood so much. Because I fucking hated it. Growing up in South Dakota with a bunch of rednecks was not my idea of you know, something that I would ever feel bad about. But I do get nostalgic for when I was living in Switzerland.
Sure.
Which has been 20 years ago now? 21 years ago now?
Shit.
I know, right? I do occasionally, like, I'll see a picture of mountains or something like that, or a snippet of music or something like that, and I'll just think, I remember...
Distant yodeling.
I remember this thing when I was in this particular city in the Alps, and I did this thing, and you know, that time that we went sledding at the Matterhorn, and we got separated from our group, and we went into the hotel, and there was nobody there, so we stole fruit from the bowl, because we were hungry, and left.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like those things. Those are the things I'm, you know, working on a vineyard.
Sure.
Working on a vineyard on a mountainside. Like, those are the things that I miss, and get nostalgic for. Like, we were watching years ago, before... when he was merely an asshole and not an abusive asshole, we were watching Top Gear. And, like...
Jeremy Clarkson?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, when he was still just a lovable asshole instead of an ass... like, a legitimate asshole. Like, they were doing a thing through the Alps. And, like, they drove through a valley that I had been in. Like, I recognized it. I was just like, it hurt. Like, I had to leave the room and, like, go lay down in bed for a little bit.
Oh. Huh.
Because I got hit real bad. But, yeah, just most of the things that remind me of anything before then is just like, I don't want to be reminded of this. I'm happy to have forgotten it. Thank you very much.
All right.
What about you, Jenna?
I think smells tend to be very nostalgic for me overall. But like, there are songs and things like that can hit on my nostalgia buttons. I think one of the things that I very strongly associate with my childhood is campfires.
Oh, yeah.
Campfires and just kind of the earthy smell of camping or being out at fest or being at a rendezvous or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not one that I get an awful lot in the office place.
No. Wow.
Yeah, it's one that I very specifically just associate with being out at an event in my childhood.
That reminds me of something. I'll put a bookmark in it. You go ahead.
No, you keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, I had been looking for a little while and finally found photos of the airport hangar that I helped renovate into a pair of cabins. The airport used to belong to my best friend's father's best friend.
Cousin's former.
I feel like Nim actually told me about this once.
And I spent Yeah, a bunch of years with my best friend and his dad building a cabin on the other side of the mezzanine from his best friend's cabin that had been built into the airplane hangar. And stumbling across those photos, I didn't have to leave the room or anything like that, but I definitely felt that heartache. And I like looked at the price and I was like, I wonder if I could fucking buy that place. I don't want it. Because, you know, when you...
Right.
Yeah, when lightning strikes anywhere in the city, it hits that hangar and it shorts out between the wall and the microwave. So I don't want to live there. But I want that back.
No, that's,
you know,
fair.
Yeah. Similar to the farmhouse up on Madeline Island.
Like, you want the farmhouse, not that. Or did you see pictures of it recently?
A similar thing to, like, it was such a huge part of my life and such a special place that I want to be back there in that time, not necessarily. And just going and buying that place, I would just be miserable.
Like, I've actually thought about, I have even priced houses up along the North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I fucking love it up there, you guys.
Yeah.
And that is actually Jess's retirement plan for me. She's just going to find me a place along the North Shore. This little North Shore retirement home when I get
where
too
you can
old.
Chase yeah. rabbits and.
But,
the farm upstate.
Dare at the lake in the morning? Like, that's.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lake,
trash against
yes.
the shore?
That's what I meant.
Fuck, James.
Yeah.
No, Jessa told me that was her retirement plan for me, and I was like, I knew I raised yeah. you right.
Yeah.
You know exactly how to treat your mom.
So, yeah.
But, I do have a lot of nostalgic mm-hmm. memories tied to, so there, okay, there's this moment. Mm-hmm. When you're going to Duluth, there is, and you're on the freeway, and you're coming up. There's this one hill that you come up over and you get to the top and you can just start to see the lake mm-hmm. and then you can see the rest of the city as you come over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I was a kid and we would go up north for the holidays or for the summer thing or whatever, several times throughout the year, but I would wait for that hill mm-hmm. and I would watch for that hill and I knew when that hill, like, I was like, okay, and then this hill is going to be right over here. And I was just so excited to be able to watch the entire city of Duluth unfold in front of me as we came over that hill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was like, yes, we're in Duluth. And there is just this very, it's a moment in my childhood that was repeated, but it's also just like the
yeah.
same feeling over and over again. And so now as an adult, every time I take 35 up and we go over that hill and the city unfolds, I still hit that nostalgia like every time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a part of me that's like, we're going to grandma's house. Oh, nope, they're dead. But like, you know what I mean? Like, it just
yeah.
hits that feeling. It's not even as much about remembering doing it. It's that feeling that I've associated with that. And yeah, like, that one's a big one for me. Thank you for telling your stories, because like, I didn't even think of that until you started talking about that.
Yeah.
All right, feelings. I have feelings sometimes, guys.
Well, and like, my dream for visiting Madeline Island right now has nothing to do, it can't have anything to do with the farmhouse. The farmhouse was purchased by wealthy people because it's like a 250-year-old farmhouse. It's a historical artifact and no one right. can live there. And they're doing all of this work, and you know, somebody owns that property, it's not a thing anymore. But I was thinking of like just staying in one of the tiny motels there, and just getting real hammered for a week and trying to write a book and having that be a vacation. And just getting something very different, not trying to duplicate the feelings and experiences I had before, but having a very different experience. Does anyone else? So I had thought of something earlier, like 2 weeks ago, that has to do with nostalgia. And that is, I think our generation has a much weirder kind of nostalgia than most other generations. Because I think, you know, about 30 to 35 years after the childhood, you have the nostalgic resurgence of the aesthetic, right? So in the 1980s, the 1950s, we started getting 50s grills. We were, you know, Happy Days was in syndication.
Okay.
And you know, everybody was in love with the Fonz, and people were watching Grease like motherfuckers and all of that stuff, like 50s greasers and poodle skirts and all of that shit was hitting it really big. And then in the 1990s, it was the 60s and 70s with the Wonder Years. Well, the 60s with the Wonder Years, and with a lot of Beatles nostalgia and a lot of Star Trek nostalgia and things like that. And then early 2000s, we had That 70s Show. We had, you know, people were getting back into, like, weirdly, bell bottoms and peasant blouses and all of that stuff, right? I think our generation has seen not only the resurgence of our own aesthetic from the 1980s, like late 1970s, early 1980s, but I think that we can appreciate, because these are the things that we held in our hands, but we also sort of consumed the high fructose versions of the previous several generations' nostalgia. You know, that they took all the highlights, all the best parts of these things, and we consumed them. And
okay, so let me stop you, Chris.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling if I keep letting you go, you're just going to continue.
No, I'm actually at the end. I think we have syndicated nostalgia from the previous generations.
See, and I don't understand that.
Lost me as well, I will admit.
Okay.
Let me try to throw in some sense into what it is
sure.
that I'm hearing for clarification.
Yeah.
So I am familiar with the 30-year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And Salsa, I don't know if you're familiar with the 30-year cycle, but it's the idea that fashion and trends
yeah.
kind of have a 30-year cycle, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, they come back every 30 years. And they'll look a little bit different. James, you were talking about 50s versus 80s. You mentioned poodle skirts. They didn't really have poodle skirts in the 80s, but they did have those fucking tulle skirts that were just mm-hmm. all over the fucking place that mm-hmm. had a similar silhouette, similar style, that were kind of reminiscent of the 50s. I don't mm-hmm. know that I consider that nostalgia, though. I think that there is a difference between nostalgia and inspired by. If you take something
mm-hmm.
and go, oh, hey, that's cool, but what if I do this to it? I don't know that that is inherently the same thing. There can be aspects about it that are nostalgic to certain people.
Sure.
But I think that sometimes we tend to overuse the word nostalgia to mean just things from the past mm-hmm. Or remembering that things from the past exist, as opposed to evoking a specific emotional personal response.
Well, so let me ask you a clarifying question.
I have an emotional response to the 50s. I wasn't in the 50s.
Right.
Right.
That's part of what I'm saying. But like a lot of the movies, including like Back to the Future and other films of our childhood, involved that time period. And again, like 50s grills, which I consider to be that is a restaurant which is stylized to capitalize on the emotional response of the adults of that particular era.
Okay.
It's catering to, it's pandering to the people who grew up in the 50s and who want a sense of the what they perceive to be the adult world of their childhood. They never got a chance to live in that world. In the same way that, like, in the 1980s, we were kids.
Okay, so, but now, okay, hold on. Because you're talking about two different groups of people. You were talking about people that did live in the 50s, that were children in the 50s, and you were talking about people that did not live in the 50s, that were in the 80s, right?
So when
you are talking about a nostalgic response, it can only happen to those people that were around in the 50s, right?
So what I'm saying is that, yeah, yes, but what I'm, that's part
so
A.
So you might be, let me finish though.
It's a rant.
Because what I'm hearing is that you're talking about the 80s using 50s nostalgia as a marketing tool specific to those people that have been within the 50s.
Yes.
Okay. That's an important clarification for me.
Okay.
Because when you started talking about the 80s, for me, I was around for the 80s, but I don't understand 50s nostalgia in the 80s because I have no 50s nostalgia. You know what I mean? And like, you kind of lost me right away. I'm like, I can't have nostalgia for that. I don't know what's going on. So, yeah. So when we talk about resurgence of 80s, if you were to do the 30-year trend cycle, would have been this past decade, right?
And it has been. Well, we've Stranger Things, She-Ra. Vaporwave, She-Ra.
This is my point, though. I really didn't feel nostalgic with most of that.
Fair.
I enjoyed the reboot of She-Ra.
Oh, fuck, it's so good.
It's really fucking good. But I didn't feel nostalgic.
Because it's so different.
It's so
it
different.
Has the name,
It has
the name She-Ra, but it doesn't have the aesthetic. It doesn't have the storyline. It doesn't have any of this, this stuff. The only thing that connects it to anything is the name She-Ra. The same thing with the Carmen Sandiego cartoon, which was also fantastic, but also
it is fantastic.
Really,
or even New Voltron.
Yeah, it had no.
But I don't think it's a coincidence that we're getting She-Ra, Carmen Sandiego.
No, it's absolutely not a coincidence. It's because the people that were children when those were coming out are now the creators.
Yes. Not only the creators, but the consumers. So it's an easy sell. You know, that especially if people are going to be buying something.
Right. But I don't feel like that's a nostalgia. I'm with Jenna on that.
I tend to think that a lot of the marketing for these things, not necessarily She-Ra, Carmen Sandiego, those kinds of things, but there is very often a resurgence of products and styles. Something that I'm seeing a lot of is the resurgence of like the pink and teal neon and vaporwave aesthetic.
But again, I think the styles, that's getting back to Jenna's 30-year cycle, because with styles, it is the previous generation, or I'm sorry, the next generation wanting to do something different than the previous generation did, which is why we get bell bottoms, you know, in the 70s, and then clothes, the way to rebel against that is to get tight legs, and then you've got tight legs in the 80s, and then the way to rebel against that is to have big legs. You get JNCOs. And then after that, they rebel against the big legs, and so that you get skinny jeans. And now we're seeing big legs come back again because it's the next group of people rebelling against. It's not a nostalgia thing.
I agree
thing.
A little
it's
bit.
It's not a nostalgia thing. It's the next group coming in and saying, we want to do something different than what they're doing. And so we're going to swing the other direction.
I agree
from
a little bit.
Wild
that it,
colors
you know, you've got the you've got the pendulum.
Wild colors to muted. You know exactly. It's more.
Sure.
And I mean, I'm
oversimplifying.
So
explain to me why
I'm oversimplifying it. Obviously, I don't understand fashion at all. Obviously, look at me. I think it's more to do with like Jenna's like saying with the 30-year cycle than it has to do with nostalgia.
So answer me this: why are more things emulating VHS tracking lines?
I have no idea what you're talking about, so
tons of video games and TV shows and music videos and things like that are emulating the slight like VHS shutter, the rolling line.
If they are doing so, James.
Yeah.
This is honestly the first time I've heard about it too. Mm-hmm. If they are doing so, it is not to trigger my nostalgia.
Sure.
Right.
I feel like that's.
But there are many possible reasons why that could be. They might be trying to capture a specific style. And for here, I'm actually going to go back to why do we do Victorian plays and why do we emulate the noir style of film? None of us have a nostalgia for that.
True.
But there is a very distinctive thing happening with those styles.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, James. I don't want you to feel like piled up against.
I do.
Because,
I
like.
Do.
But if two people disagree with me, like.
Please let me finish. You
go
guys.
Ahead.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
I don't want you to feel piled up against because.
Yeah.
Salsa's like, I'm with Jenna. I'm like, hold on, buddy. Like, I'm not 100% there either, all right? Stop putting words in my mouth. But, like, there can be elements of nostalgia, but I don't know that that's a driving factor. I don't think you can call that the majority factor, or even that there is a majority factor in these trend cycles.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are many different elements that can pile into these 30-year cycles. And nostalgia might be a portion of it. And the rebellion on again, off again that Salsa was talking about might be a portion of it. And a sense of recapturing a specific era's style of, you know, oh, it was cool when we all wore fedoras. It's not now. But there was a time where that was cool. That might be a part of it. Like, there are so many things that go into these 30-year cycles that I don't think you can just pin it on a thing, right?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that nostalgia isn't necessarily a part of it. I'm saying that nostalgia might be a motivating factor for individuals that are working on trend stuff. Great.
Mm-hmm.
They might even think they're marketing to people based on a nostalgia. Cool. But that is not the only factor, and that is not necessarily working for me as an individual because I've been told that the past decade has seen a resurgence in 80s things, but I haven't actually seen anything that really reminded me of the 80s. Like, I was there. My hair was tall. My makeup was loud. There was leopard print. And I have had none of that in my life since the 80s.
Huh.
So, and, like, I have to pay a certain amount of attention to styles because I'm a female in a corporate world, so I have to be able to present in a certain way. I think I've seen a couple of flirtations with the 80s here and there, but I don't really feel like I've seen an 80s resurgence. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say that I think the 30-year cycle might be dying.
Atomic Blonde...
is a really cool fight show. What?
Is a really cool fight show. Where does it take place? And when?
I honestly don't remember. There was a big, long fight scene and a bunch of stairs.
It takes place in East Berlin in the 1980s.
Cool. Do you know where, Where did Captain Marvel take place? In the 90s.
In the 90s. Fair enough.
Last year, which is supposed to be an 80s year. So, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, there's a portion of it that can be confirmation bias, too. Where you're just picking out things that happened. But I want to address the whole, I think the 30-year trend cycle is dying.
Okay.
And here's my thought process behind it, is that I think that a thing that has been a part of the 30-year trend cycle has been people's exposure to their parents' styles.
Okay.
And that's like the first time they find out about something, or they find out about an era that they were not specifically a part of. Hit your 20s, and you had your teens, and you had your knots, right? Your first, there's 1 through 9, then there's 10 through 19, and then your third decade, you're in your 20s, which is when you get to start making decisions on your own, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the problem, is that we have the internet now.
Yeah.
So there is not going to be a period of time where you are surprised by what kind of fashion things happened in the past. You're not, I think that, and there's also a bit more of a freedom thing that's happening, where people are just expressing themselves however the fuck they want to now. Mm-hmm. So there isn't, we don't adhere strictly to trends anymore. People told me that bootcut jeans were coming back, and I'm like, cool, I've been wearing those for the past 15 years. Like, you know, whatever. like, we don't have those strong societal adherences to trends, and we have a lot more access to things that happened previously, to where I think that the 30-year trend cycle is actively breaking down.
And I agree, and that's actually what I was kind of moving toward, was the idea that because our childhood, in our lifespan, we saw so many different resurgences and catering to nostalgia, and we have access to all of these TV shows that are in syndication, that exposed us to all of these different styles. We have the internet. We have now shows that they very purposely go back to whatever time. We like watching Star Trek. We saw fashions, supposedly, you know, like costumized fashions of all of these different time periods. Our childhood experience incorporates so many different styles and eras and genres that would have been siloed very tightly, that we can have strong emotional attachment and strong memories, strong memory associations with almost any era that we've seen represented. Very much like you said, nothing that we see in our parents' photo albums is going to, oh, that's a thing of the fucking past. Nothing that we see on our parents' Facebook pages is really going to be shocking or weird for us. And that's what I'm saying. In syndication, very much like we got to experience our parents' TV shows because they were repeated indefinitely after they made 62 episodes. They could just happen forever. And so their TV shows became our TV shows. So too did all of these other eras get repeated in our childhood in very summarized, very squished in, very idealized way.
The 80s were the nostalgia era. Like, just full stop, they were. They were called that.
And I did not know that.
No, the 80s were straight up called the nostalgia era. Yeah. So if you're going to be comparing nostalgia to the nostalgia era, good job, I guess. I don't know. But it was because there was so much more access to everything from the past. And it wasn't. And I think, honestly, I think the 80s is where we start to see more of the breakdown of the 30-year Sure. And we're just the internet then popped its fucking cherry. Or uncorked the champagne or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Whoa, that's almost worse.
But no, in the 80s, we actually got a variety of era backgrounds, right? Mm-hmm. It was all on TV, though, and not everybody had a TV.
Right.
Not everybody did TV. Also, you're doing a lot of comparison to TV, and I don't remember a lot of TV from the 80s, so I'm already having a hard time keeping up with you.
Fair.
And Sasha already told us he did shot his TV or something, so he can't keep up with you.
Your TV had three channels.
They sold it for a cow.
Right.
And they were all the weather.
No, one of them was PBS, one of them was NBC, and one of them was CBS.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, like, so there were a lot of things, but this is why it's the start of the breakdown, because we also start to see socioeconomic factors start to hit these patterns, too. People with more access to these things, people in urban areas had more access to things. Because just by virtue of living in an urban area, now you have five channels as opposed to three. Ain't that fancy? Oh, hey, now you can get cable. Oh, boy, howdy, there's 45 channels of, oh, my God, what the fuck? Right? Also, there's more people, so it's a more exposure to different individuals of different eras. Or mindsets, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think that I lost my thread. I think that the 80s saw so much more information happening and spitting out that's when we started to mess with the cycles. I think that's one of the reasons why the 80s were so crazy, because people were kind of like, just fuck it. You know, ask somebody to dress in an 80s style. And they alone will give you five different responses, let alone the next person down the line.
I mean, right? I know how I would do this. Yeah. Big shoulder pads is essential.
No, it's not. You need off shoulder sweaters.
Oh. With a blazer underneath that has shoulder pads.
Now you're fucking it up. But you see my point, though, is that there isn't an 80s style. There are 1880s styles per person.
1880 right. styles were very different from the 1980 styles.
You're losing the thread.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, and I think it has gotten more so that for two reasons. The first is the availability of information. I can go back and look up commercials from my childhood.
Right.
And from my parents' childhood, like this archival footage has been added to the internet and I have persistent access to it. If I want to hear a song, I don't have to wait for it to come up on the radio. I don't have and try to make a tape of it like we did in the 80s and 90s. I don't have to go and buy the cassette. I don't have to, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I can just load it on my computer. I have 24/7 access to every song mankind has made. Humankind, mankind's not a cool word to use, unless you're putting somebody down, and then it's perfect. But that brings me to the second thing, that we don't really get to have 30-year nostalgia for a lot of things because we have perfect access to it, and we get to watch it again as it was, and a lot of it is problematic.
You're looking at it from a very modern viewpoint, though.
Yeah. It's modern times.
We look at what we have and we say we have instant access to the past. When 20 years ago, we thought we had instant access to the past. 40 years ago, we thought we had instant access to the past. I could go to the library and check out any book on you know, clothing styles from the 50s, I had instant access to the past. You know,
but you had to go and do a thing while a business was open.
For that time, that was instant access.
Yeah, absolutely. That was unprecedented access. Yeah.
Exactly.
My
Jenna?
My difficulty with that is actually more the idea that having access to these things now increases in nostalgic value on an individual level.
On an individual level, I would agree. On a commercial level.
Well, that's what we're talking about, though, as individuals, James. You can't just clump everybody together. But, like, every time I hear the song Change from Blind Melon, that hits a very specific time period for me when I was a welfare mom and my baby daddy had just left me and I was just trying to get out of the postpartum depression and all this other stuff. And it hits on a very specific moment for me. And having immediate access to that song at any given point in time does not decrease my nostalgic value attached to that song.
Correct.
Right. And well, the way you've been talking, and we have to wrap this up. I know that we do. But I think the frustration that I've had is that the way you've been talking is kind of like this global societal way of thinking, but that's not how individuals work. And it feels disingenuous to me to clump everybody together in the same experience. Because even right here, between Yumi and Salsa, all three of us have had very different experiences on TV in the 80s, you know? So, I think that's where I've been having a lot of frustration, is it just feels like we're bulking everybody into the same experience, and that's, especially starting in the 80s, that's not true. So.
Fair enough.
Anyway.
Should we take a break?
Hey, Salsa, you got it? Go ahead, Salsa.
I think we should take a break.
I'm here for it.
You don't say.
I do, as a matter of fact. As further facts, we're going to do it right now.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
That's really kind of creepy.
And we're back.
Salsa, you fucking animal. I'm James.
I'm Jenna. Yep, I'm here. Are we doing it? Okay.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five. Fuck.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Jenna.
I believe you mean the lovely and talented and brilliant and incomparable.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Jenna.
I mean, that's what I've heard in bathrooms.
Oh, okay. No, that's fair. Hey, everybody. Who's ready for Fast Five?
Fast Five.
Excellent. Question number one.
I wasn't ready. You got me on that one. You got me on that one.
That's why I waited, actually, and then you didn't pick up on it, and I was like,
"Amazing,
okay, keep going."
No, you got me. You got me.
Okay.
Do over. Sure. Mulligan.
All right. Okay. Question number one.
Hey.
Yeah, now we're going. Tucked or untucked?
Untucked.
Untucked. Everyone tells me I should be wearing shirts untucked.
When I'm wearing my underwear, I always make sure my penis is untucked.
Huh.
All right.
That's a plate ramp situation, because I feel like you're tucking it into a specific, like, pocket of the underwear.
Right, and mine is untucked.
Gotcha.
I'm going to go untucked, but for very different reasons.
Are you sure?
I mean, anyway, question number two.
Ding.
Tucked or untucked?
Oh, no.
When I'm wearing underwear, I make sure my penis is untucked.
When Salsa's wearing underwear, I like to make sure that his penis is untucked.
I'm going with, honestly, no, this one I'm going with tucked. Because I like my Robin Hood's tucked.
Like Friar tucked?
Yes. I like my Robin Hood to have a Friar tuck as opposed to not have a Friar tuck.
Huh.
That's fair.
I don't tuck my hair into most hats and things like that. Like, that would be a complete pain in the ass.
Okay.
So I'm going to say untucked.
All right. For this one, I am going to say untucked as well.
Mm-hmm.
Question number three. Tucked or untucked?
When I go to sleep most nights, I'm able to stay tucked in.
Oh.
And I don't often have a fucking fist fight with my blankets that results in not having them. However, I will tell you that it is a very different situation with my primary partner. We joke often about her inability to lay in a bed and have the sheets and blankets obey geometry, like Euclidean geometry. It just...
Okay.
It just breaks. Physics breaks. The blankets and pillows and sheets and all of that shit just stop working.
All right.
Physically.
Does she wake up at an angle, or...
It sounds like she wakes up with her left side on the bed and her right side in the bathroom.
That's really what that sounds like, yeah.
Well, like, the blanket ends up in another room and is not somehow large enough...
And is also a
...to cover one person. Yeah, it's very strange. And it's not even when she wakes up. It's like 5 minutes after she gets into bed. The sheets and blankets are just, they're fucked. I love her. But also.
I'm not going to lie, I've had the same conversation with Joe, but like, I think in a very more confined definition. Like, Joe likes to have his blankets tucked into the bed, like underneath the mattress, and he likes to like weasel his way.
Hotel style?
No, he likes to like worm his way under the top sheet and the blankets and everything and keep everything tucked like into the bed. Whereas for me, I want the blankets tucked around me because I'm a narcissist. Like when it's tucked into the bed and you get that like it's flat against whatever part of you is the most up, now you have these air gaps on either side and I don't want to feel that air.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to have it a little more untucked so that I can have blanket all the way around my body, not necessarily underneath, but like I don't want to feel that air against my skin. It's one of my sensitivity things.
Sure.
So yeah, And Joe wants to feel that weight of that tuck against his body.
Yeah.
Like he wants to feel that pressure going down. And I want no air around me. So, yeah.
I'm sorry. I have to ask, and I apologize if this is, you know, personal. But after sexy times, does he, like, remake the bed?
No.
Okay.
No, after sexy times, assuming we've both done our job correctly, he's too far gone to care.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's fair. All right.
Yeah, no.
Because, like, I've had that ex who, like, after sexy times would, like, change the sheets or make the bed and things like that. And it's like, okay. All right.
No, that's, no. No. No.
Whereas I, if I'm wearing underwear, like to make sure my penis is untucked.
That's what I've heard.
Never heard of it.
I believe this might be our next bumper sticker and or t-shirt. It's going to be the Darmok guy talking to Picard, and it's going to be Salsa's penis untucked.
Oh, I thought you meant never like heard that. Of it.
I thought you did too, actually. All right. Did we all weigh in for number three?
Yep.
I'm untucked. Question number four. Rose or chocolate?
I am going to say, what were the two? Rose or chocolate?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to say, if I'm wearing underwear, I make sure my penis is untucked.
Okay.
Okay, so, Rose. All right.
No, chocolate. obviously.
Oh, this is my mistake. I misspoke. Rose water smells amazing, but chocolate water is cocoa, so chocolate.
All right. I am going to go chocolate. Question number five. Rose or chocolate?
I always eat my chocolate in neat rows. Where does that leave me?
How do you eat your roses?
With chocolate.
Oh. Yeah.
Shit.
Which is better to sprinkle on the bed to entice someone?
$50 bills.
That one. That's the answer.
I mean, all right. Yeah. Nail upon the top. I'm going to say that sprinkling chocolates on the bed is not your best idea, especially if it's a hotel. So yeah, I'm gonna go with roses.
I am going to say neither, but chocolate. And that was it. That was five questions. You guys, did it. Are you ready for the context?
No.
My whole life.
I love how you both had vastly different answers and still managed to sound the exact same amount of honesty. Like, that was beautiful. I'm so happy right now. question number one, tucked or untucked, how do you like your bed sheets?
Untucked.
Oh.
Yeah, I am untucked.
Way
I don't like, you're talking about, yeah, hotel style is not my jam.
Like, even the foot of the bed, I can't have the foot of the bed untucked, because then my feet just get crushed.
Yeah. Oh, I don't like the foot crush.
No.
Bugs me.
I hate it.
I have to sleep on my side at Joe's because otherwise my feet are going to get smushed down and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Question number two, tucked or untucked? How do you wear your shirts?
Untucked.
Not your underwear or your penis, but your shirts.
Oh, I tuck my penis into my shirts, too.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
untucked.
Yeah, untucked.
I used to tuck them all the time, but I have been told that I am wrong.
No.
Mm-hmm. You can tell those people they're fucking idiots.
Yeah, most shirts I'm going to wear untucked. The only shirt that I would wear tucked in is a polo, but since I never wear polo shirts, I never have to worry about that problem.
Hmm.
So, question number three, tucked or untucked? Salsa, I almost made this. How do you prefer your Robin Hood? And I didn't.
Damn it!
And I am so, so sad. Because when you
That's
said
amazing.
That, there was a thing inside me that was like, how do you use a napkin?
You tucked in or not tucked in?
Yeah, tucked into your neckline or just lean down on your lap.
Lap.
Yeah, lap. As much as tucking it in would probably be a really fucking outstanding plan for me.
I really should. I get so much food on my boobs before it ever gets to my lap.
Tucking it in is so gauche.
Yeah. And we all know that salsa is the epitome of fashion, so,
it's
you know.
So true.
That is what I heard. He's pioneered the untucked style. He'll tell you more.
Okay. Question number four, rose or chocolate? Do you prefer color or neutral tones on your walls? Color being rose, chocolate being neutral. Because they are both color names. And chocolate is, of course, neutral brown. Rose is, of course, a color. I had to try to James one, but I still didn't get... I couldn't go full James. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you know. It's difficult to live like this.
I'm sorry. Could you ask again?
Rose or chocolate, do you prefer color... Or neutral colors, neutral tones, like color, like red, blue.
Raiderly picks the color.
Yeah.
What color are my walls?
Most of them have a good amount of color in them.
Blue
and yellow.
That one.
You've got a bunch of greens happening. You don't have a lot of neutral tones, so. Yeah. I generally prefer neutral tones that I can dress up with color, but that might be from a long lifetime of living in apartments, so...
Yeah.
Where if I'm allowed to even paint the walls, then I have to paint them back later, and I'm lazy.
Yeah. I like walls that are really... yeah, this notwithstanding, because again, apartment life.
Mm-hmm.
I like walls that are jewel tones, that are, you know, powerful, bold colors.
If I am going to do colors, and I have done so in the past, but they tend to be much softer, kind of like muted tone colors, as opposed to anything bold. Mm-hmm. Like a ashy mossy green, or a, you know, like a cream as opposed to a yellow. Kind of a, you know what I mean? A blue would be more of a light, very light slate or a cloudy sky type of gray blue as opposed to, you know, like a bright jewel tone blue.
So like more of like
tones. I like jewel tones in my furniture, not in my walls. What, James?
I was going to say, so more like, wall colors of like the 1800s and early 1900s rather than like the late 1900s.
Maybe. I don't understand this reference. Nor am I nostalgic for it because it wasn't.
That's what I've heard. Nice. It's a ramp. Right. Yeah, no, I got to paint two apartments in a row with rooms that had brilliant, bold colors, and it felt more like home, and it felt more beautiful, especially having a library that was a deep wine red with a green ceiling.
I mean, I can kind of see that, but I still feel like I'd feel too claustrophobic in it. I would probably mute that a little bit. So more of a grayed out wine red as opposed to a bright wine red.
Mm.
That makes sense.
See, that would make me feel really claustrophobic.
But it's lighter. It's supposed to be more open.
Huh. To me, it would just make that feel so dark and, like, lightless.
A lighter color would make it look darker?
You were saying, like, a gray color.
Yeah, like, muted means less richness in the color.
So a lower saturation?
Yeah, like a lower saturation. So it tends to be a little bit lighter, and then kind of a little bit grayer, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they tend to be lighter than the jewel tones.
Hmm.
At least what I have in my mind.
Okay.
When
Fair
I
enough.
Words. Yeah, no, I'm talking like lighter and grayer, but not any darker than a jewel tone. God, no. The jewel tone already is too dark for me.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, question number five. Rose or chocolate? Which does your primary partner prefer? So if you were to give them a gift to woo them or say I'm sorry or just felt like it, whatever, which would your partner prefer to receive? Flowers or chocolates?
I think mine would just be happy that I was thinking about her.
I mean, that's fair.
That, but...
She likes both.
I think flowers have a... They have a curve, and a flower is a responsibility that you have to like take it home and take the bouquet and put it into a vase and cut the stems and water and mix the plant food and all of that. Like it's you're giving somebody plant-based homework, and it's pretty fatalistic because they're gonna fucking die. They're going to. Now, they're beautiful, and they smell great, and they look fantastic. They make a room look better, admittedly. But also there's that. And there's, for me, a twinge of sadness with flowers when they do go. Because then you're like, man, am I not doing this right? No, they're fucking, they're cut. They're not growing anymore. They're going to die. You didn't do anything wrong. They're dead. You get rid of them when they're gone, and you don't feel bad about it. You just try to enjoy them while they're there. Chocolate, I have no such moral quandaries with. You receive it, you put it in your mouth, and it's chocolate, and that's great. So I think I would give chocolate.
Leave it to James to turn this into a moral quandary. Like, seriously, no, I'm going with flowers.
All right.
I'm going with flowers, not roses. If it is between roses and chocolate, it's going to be chocolate. But if it was between chocolate and lilies, lilies are going to win.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think for Joe, he has no desire for flowers. He doesn't see the point of giving flowers. He doesn't want flowers. He's allergic to most flowers. Probably not going to get him flowers.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's also not a huge chocolate person overall, but if I did get him some fancy chocolates, he would be delighted by it. So, then again, he's not much for getting gifts in the first place. We just tend to do nice things for each other. Gifts are kind of a side thing, but
buying him meats is a nice thing for both of you.
Oh yeah, it is. I also like to buy him t-shirts, because he doesn't buy any for himself.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. He prefers practical gifts, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was it. That was all five.
Woo!
We did it, you guys!
All right. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should, of course, be the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices and give us some context. Who has something to... shout out. Who's got a shout out?
I want to give a shout out to Justin Link at Alchemy Salon for my incredible fucking amazing hairs. They're great. Justin books out like a month, 2 months in advance. So if you want to see him, and you know you do, you should go to Google your Alchemy Salon and get booked up front. I'm already booked for my next haircut because I want to maintain it. God, he did such a good job. And just delightful conversation during the 4 hours that I was there, too. Like, he just knows how to make people feel at home while he's working on them. He's great. He's wonderful at what he does. Fantastic. Highly recommend. Shout out. My hair is incredible. The end.
All right.
Shout out to Charles, Cody, Raina, Colton, Christina, Roomba, Dyson, Kirby, and Eureka. All of the friends and pets that I got to hang out with from Sunday to Monday. I had a blast, and it felt so good to see everyone. I fucking missed them so much.
I'm going to give my shout out to everybody who's getting vaccinated.
Yay! Woo!
Fucking good for you.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm excited.
Yep.
Good job.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
Go see Justin Link at Alchemy Salon. That's it.
I kind of do. As mentioned,
it's been a while.
I know, right? Well, it's not me. It's, as mentioned, the Minnesota Magicians have made the playoffs. The first two games of the second round are this Friday and Saturday at the Richfield Ice Arena at 7 p.m. Unfortunately, the capacity limit has been lifted, but also the mask mandate has been lifted. So there will be many people not wearing masks there. So obviously, grain of salt. If you don't feel comfortable showing up, by all means, please do not come. But otherwise, if you feel comfortable with your vaccination, come on out. Cheer them on.
Yeah.
All right.
Or if you don't feel comfortable, go to MinnesotaMagicians.com, and you can watch the updates as they happen on the screen because of what I'm doing and make my job worthwhile.
Hot damn.
That's what I got. Anything else? Anybody have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I would like to say bye-bye, I love you, bye-bye-bye.
All right, in that case, thank you so very, very much to everybody who has been listening to this podcast. I'm getting tired. It's getting later. It was a long weekend. Thank you to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you to Jenna for the Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.